Update from the governor's office. The state's administering an average of 25,000 vaccine doses per day. So far, Illinois has administered almost about 400,000. And that's where things sit. Older Chicagoans could start getting their coronavirus vaccinations as early as next week. That's when they're hoping things will happen. They're hoping to do it through pharmacies as well. It's happening in some parts of the state already, but not Chicago. And that's the next part of the rollout. We did learn from the governor today that there is that new variant, that strain or variant found in the UK. It's now been found here in one patient who did visit the UK. We've talked about this a lot with Dr. Steve Salzman and what this all means. Say hello to Dr. Steve. How are you? How are you doing, Dr. Steve?
Happy Friday, everybody. How are you?
Happy Friday. You know, I know you got the first dose of the vaccine end of last year. We talked to you. You did a play-by-play. It was beautiful. I think you forgot the name of alcohol. Was that right? Or what was it you forgot?
Alcohol fan. I've never forgotten
alcohol
the name
fan.
Of alcohol.
No! I hate when that happens. I mean, all the things that you've used as a surgeon, I just alcohol pad, really? And then you got the second dose just on Friday, a week ago, right? So you've been vaccinated.
I am vaccinated, correct. And I got the Pfizer one.
Mm-hmm. How's it going? Anything since the day it happened?
No. Like I told you, Monday, I'm fine. Some of my other colleagues have gotten the vaccine and sort of felt flu-like for 24 hours or so, and some sort of malaise, some people with joint aches and soreness at the site, but nothing horrible. And many, many people have been vaccinated, and minus the one horrible story we're going to talk about, you know, the majority of people do well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you said before, and I just wanted to get an update now. Would you say most of the people, the healthcare workers you work with and the ones you know, have gotten the vaccine by now, or how would you say that?
Yes, I think for the people that I know, yes, everybody in healthcare that I know has been vaccinated. And of course, you know, I think most people in healthcare are sort of behind, you know, the vaccination attempt, because this is what we have to defeat this. So everybody's got to line up and get vaccinated for the most part in our audience, like I'll keep preaching.
I know you will. I know you will. And you are very convincing when you preach. I like it. You mentioned to me something that you found, and I had not seen this anywhere, but often in the medical community, you're reading the medical journals, and sometimes even before it makes news, it's making news for you guys. And this is something I found very interesting. You put on my radar from The Lancet, a respected medical journal. It's about the 6-month consequences of COVID-19. I guess they took a look at patients 6 months later, is that right, and tried to see, hey, what's going on here? How's their health? Is that right?
Right. Yes, it was in Lancet, and it was in China, where they looked at the 1,733 patients who were discharged, and they enrolled them in the study. And basically, they broke it down of what were the consequences of it, you know, that many months later. And so here's the answer. 63% had fatigue and muscle weakness, 26% had sleep difficulties, 23% had anxiety and depression. Anna, how amazing is it that I started that Green Care Medical several years ago, and I said it didn't matter what's wrong with you, back pain, neck pain, COVID now, it doesn't matter, right? Every patient has either insomnia, anxiety, or depression. And so here it is, played out on a massive scale. And so when I read that, I sort of snickered, you know, that, yeah, you know, that's it. Once we get control of the virus, it's going after all the other things that have affected people that have been stricken. Right, patients, in this specific study, though, Anna, the patients were, you know, more severely ill during the hospital stay. Those are the patients that had more severe impaired sort of pulmonary diffusion capacity and abnormal chest imaging. You know, basically, those are the ones who the more severely ill people had chest x-ray findings and potentially had sort of impaired breathing for one reason or another. You know, and again, what have I been screaming about also is that the full spectrum of health consequences is still largely unknown. The untold cost of COVID is going to be staggering. You know, it's not just physical ailments. When we talked about mental health, right? Isolation, grief, economic hardship, substance abuse. We even covered in one of our pieces, this is such a depressing study. They came out with a study, wasn't peer reviewed though, but nonetheless, they sort of said that potentially 75,000 additional people could die as a direct result of suicide and substance abuse-related deaths because of COVID-19. So, you know, this is just the sort of tip of the iceberg, and unfortunately, we're going to have a very difficult road ahead in many, many facets of medicine.
Yeah, I mean, we're learning all the time, and that's why we appreciate having you on, because you're always helping us get through some of the news that's happening and hitting the headlines. We've got more of that to get to. What were the most serious physical things that sort of stuck around 6 months later? Did they dig into, was it breathing problems? What were the top one or two things that the patients were still going through 6 months later?
So it was fatigue and muscle weakness when they broke it down was the vast majority, like 63% of them. And then in descending order was sleep difficulties at 26%, and then the anxiety depression at 23%. And there were other sort of health consequences for the more severely ill, but grouped and sort of broken down. That was the sort of take home points of the study. But very interesting, very big problems ahead, unfortunately. And, you know, that's why everybody's sort of got to get on top of their health, and big wake up call for everybody right now.
Yeah, I was concerned because I know in the past we've talked about there was some lingering effects that involved people breathing difficulties or damage to the lungs or respiratory system. And I just, it sounds like you're not saying that as being the things that were really showing up in this study.
No, not in that study. But you know what, anecdotally, you know, we see so many patients, right? Do you know what I'm hearing a lot of? And I'm not talking about one or two. We're talking about 20 different or so patients or patients' family members have not regained their taste or smell, which is very interesting that it's just not come back. So that's yet another thing, you know, that they're going to write an article about in the future, because if I'm seeing it anecdotally in a cross-section in the community, you can bet it's probably something that's occurring, you know, sort of more often than we even know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more data, more studies to come, I'm sure about that. We did have a question we didn't have a chance to get to last time you were on, and it's very relevant because it sounds like healthcare workers, as we know, and people in care facilities are the first to get this vaccine. But the next phase, which is coming already, and very soon in Chicago, is for 65 and older. We had a question from a listener who had asked, I had COVID back in the fall, so did my husband. We're over 65. Should we get in line for the vaccine or wait or not take it at all?
No, I mean, again, you got to talk with their doctor and stuff, but I would say at 65, I would take the vaccine. I just would. You know, there's not tremendous amounts of evidence, and yes, I think if we're going to look at things critically, it is true. Since they were both exposed to the virus, presumptively they have immunity and the ability to fight it off. But that being said, older age, potentially immunocompromised, potentially chronic medical history and ongoing medical problems, no, I think they should line up and probably get the vaccine.
Yeah, and I guess more to come on that. So I'm hearing you there. You say you still should get it, even if you have it. I suppose it doesn't matter what your age is. It's just becoming a real question for the folks who are that close to getting it, who'd be able to get it, being over 65. In other states, I mean, I don't know if you've seen this, but people were lining outside a supermarket in Washington at 4 a.m. They're waiting for hours to see if they get lucky. Apparently, if people miss their appointments there, then there's an extra vial. They'll give it to you if you're in line. So they had lines and lines. And in New York, their state-run facilities have been booked through April. You can't get an appointment until April there. That's not the case here. I'm hoping things go much more smoothly as this rolls out. And it seems like in the healthcare community, from what I've heard from you and others, it is going very well, isn't it?
Within the healthcare community, I think it was done very well, but let's be honest, these are big hospitals, you know, big setups, infrastructure. You know, now when it trickles down, you're talking about a mass inoculation at a level, you know, at least in modern day, that's never been undertaken. And it's incredible to watch, you know, and my God, have we learned an awful lot from this, haven't we, in terms of
totally.
From the way this gets rolled out, to how drugs get to market. It's like, yeah, it takes 5 years to get a vaccine, but all of a sudden everyone's dying and we got it done in under a year. You know, like, it just shows you bureaucracy, system breakdown, the need for system reform. And I mean, I think we're seeing that across quite a bit of society and in different facets. But yeah, no, this is pretty scary stuff. And in terms of the vaccine, the entire audience that is currently listening, I am going to tell all of you that the majority of you should get the vaccine when it is available. The only thing is that it hasn't been appropriately tested in the pregnant patient and in children. But everybody else, you know, unless you have significant anaphylactic reactions in the past, not I took an antibiotic and I have hives. I'm talking about you took something or you have a significant food allergy and your throat closed up, or you got to need a breathing tube or a shot of epinephrine, or whatever, you know, or you know, whatever it is. But those are the subsets that you have to really stop and pause. But for the most part, majority of people listening, get the vaccination when it is your turn.
Okay, loud and clear. Hey, I want to talk about those variants, the new one, the one that's, yes, the Southern Illinois University scientists have discovered here, and then also the one from the UK, which is now here in Chicago. Kind of circle back and have that conversation about what we're seeing there. We have to pause, though, for a minute. Then we also want to talk about the myths of COVID that are still out there. Patients are still asking you about it. You're still hearing it, and you're going to put some of those to rest as well. Dr. Steve Salzman, we continue our conversation with him. Coming up here, Green Care Medical is where he is. Dr. Steve Salzman, Green Care Medical, back with us here. Anna D., back with you on this Friday. Happy Friday. It's 1:48, and we were, before we move on and talk about the variants and some of the other stuff that Dr. Steve wants to get to, and also you've been able to dig into the details of that disturbing story from earlier this week about the Florida doctor who died after getting the vaccine. More details now available, and you can break that down for us in just a minute. But let's go to the phones real quick. Rosie wanted to ask you a question about getting the vaccine, I think. Hey, Rosie, you're on WGN.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a very quick question, hopefully. I am a double lung transplant patient, and I'm under 65. Where would we fall in the high risk or in the line to get the shots? According to the thing, it's 1C, but, I mean, there's a lot of people under 65 that are high risk. Are we to keep waiting?
You're somebody who needs to get that as soon as possible. The answer, you know, that's the problem now, is that how do you parse out, you know, these sort of people? But no, I mean, listen, you're right up there. The answer is you need it, and you're right up there, and you should get it, you know, as obviously as long as the transplant team's okay, as soon as you can.
Oh, no, they say I should get it, but according to the county that I live in, it will be months before I will get it. And that just seems unfair that the high-risk people have to continue to wait when we've been doing everything according to the plan, you know, staying inside, keeping our masks on, doing all of that. We still have to wait. And, I mean, if I caught COVID, it would be a death sentence to me. So
yeah,
it just seems like they should take more into consideration the high-risk people that are under 65. And,
you know,
and
I bet you
push that.
You know, Rosie, I bet you, like, if this wasn't, you know, the literally a world-ending, potentially pandemic, and this wasn't all going on, they probably, in the future, and they would have gotten task forces together, and it probably would have been rolled out and planned better, giving the government a lot of, you know, maybe. But, yes, no, I agree with you. It's very unfair. And somebody like you, absolutely, you're at literally top of the list to get it. I agree with you. 100%.
Yeah, sounds like it. And you don't have any sense about when that might be, Rosie. Is that what you're saying? You don't know?
Well, I called my county. I live in Will County, and they said I'm in Group 1C and that it will be several months before I would be even considered to be on the list.
Gee, not what you want to hear.
No. No, I'm hoping that sooner, Rosie. I think maybe they might tell you that, but once they start rolling it out at it, you know, because they're producing more and more doses, you know, and now they have two vaccines, not one, I don't necessarily know you'll wait that long. But yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. That's very unfair, Rosie. I'm sorry about that. And just please stay
I mean,
stay inside.
Me, there's a lot of people under 65 that are high risk. That
no question. Rosie, you raise a great point, because that's absolutely right. There are a lot of folks who are saying, hey, when's my chance? And I'm hoping if things go smoothly in Illinois, Dr. Steve is right, that they may speed up for folks like you who it's obvious to most of us that need to be high up there and need to get it as soon as possible.
Right.
Be well. Stay healthy, okay, Rosie? And thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
Show.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, isn't it?
You
think about the folks who's waiting in the wings here, saying, "Please, when's my turn? When's my chance?" I've even heard of folks in New York
or March. Been screaming March for 8-9 months. I know nothing, and I'm a nobody. And I've been saying the vast majority of the audience doesn't start getting inoculated till March, and it looks like I'm going to be pretty close. I didn't want to be.
I think you will be. Yeah, I mean, you want it sooner rather than later. Hey, just very quickly here, there was a disturbing headline about the doctor in Florida who had no medical conditions, no issues, no underlying conditions, I should say, and died after taking the vaccine. His family became very public because they said because of his situation. I know there's a little more known about that, so I just wanted to, you know, kind of dig in with you for a second and tell us what we should know about that, what we should take away.
Okay. This gentleman died from an unusual blood disorder, and it happened 16 days after he got the Pfizer vaccine. But this was a 56-year-old OBGYN doc who on December 18th got a dose of the vaccine. I believe it was his first dose. And then 16 days later, he subsequently died from a brain hemorrhage. But shortly after getting the dose of his vaccine, he had developed a condition that prevented his blood from clotting properly. He developed these reddish spots and petechiae. They look like sort of these red punctate sort of dot-like lesions all over his hands and feet. And he went to the ER, and they diagnosed him as having no platelets. And essentially, this is something called immune thrombocytopenic purpura. It's an acute immune thrombocytopenia, and patient's platelets just bottom out. And they were really aggressively treating him. And unfortunately, they were planning actually to do something pretty radical to try to treat him. But unfortunately, they never got around to it because he had a hemorrhagic stroke and then subsequently died. You know, this is not something that's unknown. There's a long list of meds that can potentially cause this, like quinine. There are certain antibiotics that can cause this disorder. So this is not, you know, completely unknown. However, we've talked about this, you know, like this strikes at times without any rhyme or reason. And we have no idea why. And again, we talked about like, well, what's in the vaccine? You know, the vaccine has like messenger RNA, some lipids, salt, sugar, and a saline solution. It does not have any preservatives. But what I think, and I think what the probably the thoughts of a lot of physicians are, is that this triggered for whatever reason, probably because of genetic trait, if I'm being honest, because you can't predict it's going to happen. But his immune system is sort of tricked into turning against his own cells. And there was a lot of evidence, unfortunately, that supports that the vaccine that triggered it, right? He was a healthy young person. He had no past medical history. The shot, it came on quickly. It dropped his platelets suddenly. You know, this is rare in men, but especially in young men, it suggests that a recent trigger is what did it. So in the end, I must say this is compelling because I believe it is the vaccine that caused this. I believe it is extraordinarily rare. It has been seen as well with other vaccines like the measles. This should not deter anybody in the audience from taking it unless you're the pregnant child, severe allergies. But for the most part, the majority of people in the audience should continue to take the vaccine. But this is an absolute tragedy, which is not only unpredictable, but unpreventable. And that's tough to swallow.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad you gave us a little more details there because we were going to talk about it on Monday and I thought, gosh, we just don't know enough about this. Little more is known now and, that's helpful. So thanks for breaking that down. Hey, we only have a minute here, but a lot of myths still out there about COVID and you hear them as a doctor, you folks in the medical community get asked these questions. What would you say is like one of the top ones, that you hear that people still think might be true?
Drinking alcohol kills COVID. I swear to God, I hear it all the time.
That's not true. Are you sure?
Yes, maybe. Alcohol might be good for a lot of things, every parent, grandparent, everybody else out there. But anyway, it isn't good for anything. It messes with your sleep, your weight, your brain, your liver, your body. You know, listen, at that point, Green Care Medical, come get a medical cannabis card. What are you doing? You know, and you'll wake up feeling better and you'll sleep better and you can get up and take your walk in the morning.
But alcohol does not prevent the coronavirus. Damn.
Does not prevent the coronavirus.
Okay. Well, you cleared that one up for us, and I'm glad you
mosquitoes.
Did. Although it,
that's the other one.
What?
Mosquitoes, Anna. We should say that, too.
Oh, yeah. Ask that one. We don't know. Tell us that one, because I hear that one.
Right. So mosquitoes do not. They are not the vector. Remember, everybody, this is person to person. It's respiratory droplets that are released by people. Yes, mosquitoes carry diseases and viruses, not this one. You have no risk of getting COVID. There's no evidence that that's true as well.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Steve. Enjoy your weekend. Maybe have
Me
a cocktail
too.
This weekend. I don't think you drink,
no,
though.
I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to do my stuff. And I'll talk to everybody on Monday.
Oh, okay. I get tired just talking to you sometimes. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Steve. Good hearing from you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.